However, those major challenges that small business owners are facing are the same of the last number of years, most notably inflation and labor shortage. And so we spend a lot of time looking at our data to see where those pain points are, how they're adjusting their business accordingly to accommodate for those headwinds.
The Small Business Rundown is the official podcast of the National Federation of Independent Business, the member-driven voice of small business. NFIB and our members advocate to keep America's small businesses strong and independent in Washington, D.C., all 50 states, and the nation's courts.
Welcome to the Small Business Rundown, a biweekly podcast with information on independent businesses' victories and challenges in Washington, D.C. and state capitals. I'm Adam Temple, NFIB Senior Vice President for Advocacy, and today I'm happy to welcome back NFIB's Chief Economist Bill Dunkelberg and Research Center Executive Director Holly Wade. You've both joined us in the past to explain the important issues related to the small business economy, Holly and Dunk, including the U.S. debt limit and small business banking survey results. And this month, we're recognizing the 50th anniversary of NFIB's Small Business Economic Trends Report. Glad to have you guys back.
Great to be with you.
Yes, sir. What a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I want to cover a number of things, but first, I'd like to just get a quick explanation from you, Holly, on what the Small Business Economic Trends Report actually is.
Good question. So the Small Business Economic Trends Report is a survey that we conduct every month of a random sample of our NFIB membership. So roughly 300,000 members we have randomly sampled each month, and we ask them a set of regularly asked questions, about 38 questions on different aspects of business operations, so that we can get a clear picture of how they're doing in current economic conditions, and then compare that with how they've been doing in the past in different economic conditions. So it's a great way to gauge and better understand small business operating conditions and how they're doing now and being able to compare them with how they've been doing in the past.
And for the sake of those listening, we often call this report SBET or SBET, but usually SBET, so that we'll probably reference it as that several times. Bill, can you tell us, how did we get here? What's the history of the report?
That's a long story, and I'll try to keep it fairly short. Back in the early 1970s, apparently President Wilson Johnson was unsatisfied with the recognition that small businesses got in Washington, D.C. Nobody seemed to care about small business. Everything was about big business. And so he hired a couple of consultants. One of them was a professor, a health professor at Berkeley, and Joe was a business guy. So Joe and Dick went around the country trying to find out how NFIB might think about increasing the awareness of the organization and the small businesses in general. And I think I was the last on their visit. They went from the east out to west and right back to me at Stanford at the time, which was really close to headquarters, which was just a couple of miles away from the Stanford campus. So when Wilson laid it out, what he was interested in, I kind of fell back on my training at Michigan. I spent 5 years there working on the Survey Research Center projects, including the old Index of Consumer Sentiment, which is still popular today. It's been around a long time. And I suggested to him that the real asset that NFIB had was its 300,000 members, and that he should take a sample of them every quarter and start tracking that result over time. And then if he kept information over time so we could see how the small business economy moved relative to the entire economy, you know, he'd become famous. And so I think that's probably the case now. The Small Business Optimism Index, based on 10 questions out of all of those in the survey, has become pretty popular. There are lots of press comments now that refer to the NFIB study. That's what we wanted. We wanted the publicity to keep NFIB and small business in the minds of the readers. And now we also have major data providers who put our data together and redistribute it to their clients, especially in New York on the financial services side. So that's kind of how we got to where we are today. And it's been a really fantastic trip.
And it was off to the races. I know that, as you mentioned, Dunk SBET is a valuable resource for reporters and for lawmakers and their staffs and other kind of analysts. What do small business owners get out of the SBET report?
In the early days of the survey, we used to have a checkbox and the questionnaire and say, check here if you want us to send you a copy of the report. And we didn't get many checks. So that wasn't really the value of this survey to the small business sector. Rather, it's the exposure that we got and the leverage that we got from that exposure in shaping policies in Washington, D.C. and in the 50 state capitals that we cover. And the small business owners, of course, like seeing NFIB mentioned in the press, and that's always good. And so we do get really good press coverage from the survey and over time. But also, it's become very popular amongst analysts, financial analysts, the people who watch what's going on in the stock market and the bond market. They find that it's very helpful to understand what's going there. And scholars, academic scholars, have found the data very useful. And we've often helped them conduct special surveys of our members and bring that information forward on major issues that small businesses face.
Right. And Holly, I know both you and Dunk give perspective to policymakers at hearings and meetings and things like that. How do you incorporate SBET into those types of appearances and meetings?
Sure. So the survey is the primary resource we have in talking about the small business sector. So the participation among our members to fill out this survey is an enormous asset. As Dunk said, it might not be so helpful for them in operating their business, but, you know, looking to see how they're doing compared to the overall small business economy might be useful. But their participation is essential in our ability to better understand the small business sector and then translate what we're seeing from our survey to lawmakers, elected officials, those in the administration, in state legislatures, for them to better understand, for us to educate and have them better understand what the pressure points are for small business owners, how they're doing, if they're making capital expenditures, if they're reinvesting in their business, or if they're having issues related to, for instance, supply chain disruptions, and that's impacting their ability to accumulate inventory that they need. So this survey has been one of the best products that we have to educate, to have external parties that are of interest, that have influence on the small business sector, to have them better understand what it looks like on the ground for small business owners and operating their business and all the ways that they operate.
Right. And we've got a couple weeks. The 14th is when we'll see the 50th anniversary of the report. But more generally, can you get into some of the biggest changes or trends that you've seen over the course of the report since 1973? I think either of you.
I'll let you start, Dunk.
First, I'd like to point out that once we developed the tool of the survey research, we did a lot more than just do the monthly SBET. We also did special studies on the impact of rising energy prices, on taxes, on paperwork, on the impact of regulations. We have a study we do every couple of years called Problems and Priorities, where we have a very comprehensive look at what issues are really important and top of their list. And then we, of course, can share that information when we do our testimony and press releases and so on. So that's really been a very important development for us. In terms of what's going on in the small business sector, well, you know, we're still alive and well. We still are responsible for a huge amount of economic activity. Roughly estimated that, you know, half of the U.S. GDP is produced in the small business sector, as defined by the SBA. That makes the small business sector in total the third largest GDP economy in the world, behind the total U.S. economy and, of course, China. So we're doing pretty well. We're very important. And I always like to remind people that we start small, but that's where, you know, all the big businesses that we now pay so much attention to on Wall Street all started with just dinky little experimental firms that grew and produced all these wonderful products and services for the consumers that we now take care of every day.
And on top of that, you know, looking at what our survey is showing currently, as Dunk mentioned, GDP is fairly strong. It's held up kind of amazingly and not what many forecasters had anticipated. So it's held up pretty well over the last year. However, those major challenges that small business owners are facing are the same of the last number of years, most notably inflation and labor shortage. And so we spend a lot of time looking at our data to see where those pain points are, how they're adjusting their business accordingly to accommodate for those headwinds. And so looking at our survey, right now, still about a quarter of our members, small business owners, are saying that inflation is their single biggest problem in operating their business. About another quarter are saying that the tight labor market is the biggest issue impacting their business. And then looking into some of the other questions that we ask, when looking at inflation being one of their biggest challenges, we see them having to accommodate for that with increasing their prices and planning to increase their prices at levels that we haven't seen for a very long time. So we know what the pain points are right now. We can see how they're adjusting their business operations in the aggregate to accommodate for that. And then on the other side, for the tight labor market, we're seeing that job opening levels are still at record highs. Even though they've been on a slow decline over the last number of months, they're still very elevated. And same with hiring plans. So we haven't seen much relief in that department. And again, these are the two topics that we've spent an enormous amount of time covering over the last number of years.
Dunk, I'm going to ask you to get out your crystal ball for a minute. Just tell us, what does the future hold for a small business economy, and what do they need to succeed?
Well, what we need to succeed is less government interference with what we're trying to do. The cost of regulations is really immense. It's kind of hidden in the costs that our small businesses experience, because the regulatory structure affects all these little small businesses differently depending on what industry they're operating in. And it doesn't look like the regulatory pressure is going to ease up very much under the current administration. And that's unfortunate, because things like regulatory compliance and paperwork, those divert the most important asset that the small business has, which is the mind of the entrepreneur. It diverts it from doing the job of the business, which is getting better, producing more, producing better, cheaper. And so that's really a horrible tax, if you will, on small business and its assets, financial and of course, its brain power. So I don't see a lot happening there that's going to be better. So we'll have to be prepared for that. Taxes, of course, always remain a problem, and the government seems to be always looking for more tax revenue. When they don't get it to finance their spending, then they borrow the money, and that's starting to show up in the financial side. A couple of years ago, the average rate we reported on our loans was 4%, and now it's almost 10%. So the interest rate on the financing that we depend on is the cost of that is almost doubled. And so we have to hope that we do beat inflation back down. That's the number one problem. And that we can, if we get inflation under control, interest rates can come back down and everything can become a little smoother. The banking system has been pretty friendly through all of this nonsense. So we have relatively few complaints about availability of credit and credit needs being satisfied. So we'll hope that condition continues in the future.
All right. Before we go, is there anything else that either of you would like to add?
We're excited about continuing this survey to see where the small business economy goes from here. As Dunk said, we certainly hope that inflation pressures will start to ease a bit, and that going forward, some of those challenges that most business owners face, especially as Dunk said, taxes and the higher cost of regulatory compliance. But on the tax end, you know, NFIB is advocating strongly to keep that small business tax deduction, that 20% on qualifying small business income, available for them to reinvest in their business. It's one of the primary sources that small businesses use their earnings, their profits, in financing and reinvesting in their business. And so keeping taxes low on a federal and state level is incredibly important to help deliver that to small businesses. So hopefully the challenges won't continue to escalate as they have in the past, but the regulatory compliance part of the puzzle is of huge importance for small business owners to keep that in some sort of manageable level because of the paperwork and compliance and the amount of time that they've had to dedicate to that part of operations. But excited to see where the survey goes from here and to see how small business owners are incredibly resilient and in adapting to changes in economic conditions.
Bill, anything you'd like to add?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Dunk, Holly, I really appreciate both of you being here to mark the 50th anniversary of the Small Business Economic Trends Report. Listeners will find the latest report at the link in the show notes. And the week after next, Tuesday, November 14th, at bright and early, the 50th anniversary report will be released. Now I want to thank you, the listeners, for joining us on today's Small Business Rundown. We'll be back every 2 weeks bringing you news and analysis from Washington, D.C. and state capitals so that you, whether you're a business owner or a supporter of one, can continue to blaze a trail.
The Small Business Rundown is brought to you by NFIB, the voice of small business. You can find us at nfib.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.